We start in Chafez Amid Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches Marchikin es Hasula min Ashovach. Let's say in Kim's courtyard he has a feeding trough for pigeons. He has a place where the pigeons, he has pigeons and they eat there, then they go off, they fly, then they come back, they eat. So if I want to put up a ladder in my courtyard, I need to put my ladder 4 amos away, 6 feet away from his pigeon or dove cote, his home for the doves. Because if I don't put it 4 amos away, fear is that if, let's say, I only put it 2 amos away from where his pigeons are, kadesh lo tikpatz hanamia, we're worried about this animal called the namia. I guess it's a weasel?
Mongoose.
Yeah. That the mongoose is going to run up the ladder, jump into the area with the birds, and eat the birds. That's one halacha.
It's a nice little picture of the mongoose.
Oh, okay, great. That is a nice picture of the mongoose. I agree. Ve'es hakotel, another law. If I'm putting up a wall, I need to keep my wall mina maschila arba amos, 4 amos away from the gutter of my friend, so that he should still have enough space to put up his ladder, climb his ladder, to get into the gutter, to clean out his gutter from the debris and the leaves that might fall into his gutter. If I put up my wall, let's say only an amma away from his gutter, so before I had the wall, he was able to put up a ladder and climb onto the gutter and clean things out. Now that there's a wall, it's taking away something that he was entitled to, because now he's not going to be able to put his ladder there anymore.
Right, all these conversations, is there any like a thought process around the property line and where that is? They
yeah.
Both have to respect that or something?
There is, but the point here is that when a person owns property and he has a certain usage, so he becomes a muhzak in that usage. For years and years he had a certain usage, no one stopped him. So now I can't say, oh, but you know, really there's a property line there, you're impeding on me, I'm going to move a fence here, keep you out. He's, for years and years I let him be here.
After the fact.
So now he has a chazaka in it. Says the Gemara, Lema masnisa in the low Reb Yossi. Now our Mishnah seems to be against Reb Yossi. This is really addressing David's question. Dear Reb Yossi, Reb Yossi is going to tell us at the end of this chapter, Ha'amar, Zechofer betoch shelo, v'zenoteh betoch shelo. The last mishnah of the chapter deals with the idea that I shouldn't plant a tree if my tree roots are going to eventually grow and ruin your well that's in your field. Rabbi Yossi says it's not a problem. This guy put his well in his field, the other one put a tree in his field. They're two separate areas. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi says that if I'm doing something in my property, I can do it even though eventually it's going to cause damage in your property. So the same should be true. I can put up a ladder in my property, even though eventually the mongoose is going to run up the ladder and jump from the ladder into your property. And I should be able to put up a wall in my property, even though eventually, that means later, you're not going to be able to clean out your gutter, and that's going to cause you damage. Because since I did it in my property, I don't have to care about what's going to happen to you. Mara says, no, I feel the same Rabbi Yossi. Even Rabbi Yossi, you allowed a person to plant a tree, even though eventually the tree is going to cause damage into my friend's property. Rav Ashi said, though, when we were in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, he taught us, I could plant a tree, because when I plant a tree, the damage to my friend's property is not immediate. It's going to be years and years later that my tree's roots are going to have extended so much that they get into my friend's well and they damage him. But if it's a damage that's happening right away, virtually to make the damage appear like the firing of arrows, then I can't do it. And apparently that's what's happening here. When I put up a ladder, right away, the mongoose is going to run. It might happen right away. I'll put up a ladder, and right away the mongoose just grabs that opportunity to run up the ladder and get into my friends' doves and pigeons. Because Hachanami, so here, the reason why Rabbi Yossi would not allow it, he would agree, because then there'd be times about the manachlat, the moment that he's putting it down, Yasu b'chor, the animal sitting in the pit, in the hole, the kaftan, it jumps through the ladder up into the dovecot. So Gemara says, but still, v'agramahu. It's a big difference. I don't own the animal. I'm just an indirect cause. It's not that it's not my animal. It's not my action. I did one thing, and then another independent actor took advantage of what I did. It's an indirect cause. Indirect cause doesn't have to pay. So I'm Rav Tuvi Bar Masna Zosameris. Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, here you have an interesting law. It's true that in Bava Kama we learned that an indirect cause doesn't pay for the damage, but now we're learning in Bava Basra that Grama Ben Izakin Asur, that while he doesn't pay for the damage, it's still not allowed. It's not something that's allowed. I can't do things that indirectly will cause damage. And therefore, in terms of the laws of neighbors, I have to keep away my ladder, even though the ladder is an indirect cause of causing him a loss. All right, now another story about indirect causes. Rav Yosef Havalei Ani Tali. He had these little date trees. Davu Asu Umni, and for whatever reason, blood letters used to come. The Asvi Tutayu, they used to sit under these date trees, and they would, make people. They would let out blood from people under these date trees. So there was a lot of blood there in Rav Yosef's area. Rav Yosef's area. So Asay Orvi Achli Dami. So the ravens used to come because they wanted to snack on the blood. And once the ravens were coming, the Salkia Beitali, they used to go up and sit on top of the date trees. And Mafsiki Tami, they used to ruin the dates. Amluhu Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said to the blood letters, Afikuli Kurkur Mehacha, get rid of the ravens, the Kurkurs. From here, in other words, you guys, by letting out blood, are causing the ravens to come, which is damaging me because it's ruining my dates. You have to find a different place where to do your business. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Agramahu, but it's indirect. They're doing something else. They're letting out blood. Indirectly, that causes damage to the dates. Why should they be responsible? So Amar Lei, Rav Yosef answered what we just learned. Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. Rav Tuvi Bar Masna said that the mission that says you can't put a ladder in your courtyard near your friend's pigeon coop or dovecote in his courtyard. So Someris teaches, even though it's an indirect cause, Grama Ben Izakin Asur, even an indirect cause of damage is not allowed to be done. Maybe there's no obligation to pay, but it's not allowed to be done. Asks the Gemara. Sabaya went back and asked Rav Yosef again. But you know what? These people have been using this area for bloodletting for a long time. They have a chazakah. They have a tradition of using it. They have a right to use it. So Rav Yosef answered. Rav Nachman said, "Name Rav Baravua, ain chazak l'nizakin. If my friend had a use in my courtyard for a long time, he can continue that use. But if the use was damaging me, he doesn't have a right to continue it. There is no such thing as chazakah. There's no claim to continue using something which is a source of damage. This is a source of damage." So Abaye responded back to Rav Yosef. But v'lavitmar Allah, but didn't we learn about that very lesson of Rav Nachman? That Rav Mari Amar, the Rav Mari said, what type of damages is there no chazakah in? Kutra, some usage that produces a lot of smoke. Or Rav Zvid Amar Beisakise, a usage of my house as a lavatory. So that I can say at a certain point, you've got to move out. But over here where we're talking about bloodletting, it's not as damaging. Then there should be a chazaka. Amar Leis, Rav Yosef said to Abaye, no, for me, Hani Lididi, these bloodletters to me, because I have a very delicate disposition, I'm very sensitive. It's like something with is always producing smoke or a lavatory with a very bad smell. It's causing me a damage. I never forgave it. And therefore, now I'm allowed to protest and insist that they move out.
When the person who has the chazaka have to claim that he also acquired that right somehow?
Oh, it's an interesting question.
Or is it just implied that it was kind of, meaning like does there have to be some, acquiescence on?
Yeah, so Tosu says he doesn't have a claim. He just, the fact that he's been using it for so long.
Didn't we hear this about the ladders that are up against the wall and if still there, then if the guy puts the ladder and the other guy doesn't complain, then
Well, that's what we're arguing, right? If he's been doing this usage for so many years and no one has complained, that means that he was given the right to do it, even though we don't have a claim that he actually purchased it. The other guy was mochel, he's saying, you forgave it to me.
But I'm saying that he has to claim that.
Yeah, I've done it for a long time. You obviously were mochel. Not that I made a purchase and I lost the document or anything like that.
Nothing like that, makes the point is...
That's the next paragraph.
It's implied, you're saying.
It's just implied that he was mochel, that he forgave, because I used it for so long.
Squatter's rights.
Yeah.
But also, this indirect damage, didn't we learn that the vapors, which is an indirect damage, you can sue for, vapors, like vapors on a wall or vapors?
Oh, yeah.
So that's indirect.
Yeah.
You can sue.
Yeah, I think because there the sages legislated that indirect damage would be considered a damage.
Okay. So not all indirect damage.
Yeah. The next Mishnah now takes us into the issues of theft. Because we're talking about birds, we'll talk about theft. If I want to set up a dove cote where I'm going to have lots of doves, I have to distance it 50 amos, namely 75 feet, from the houses in the city. Because if it's, let's say, only 40 feet away from the houses of the city, the doves are going to fly into those houses and eat stuff there. And even within a person's own courtyard, let's say he has his own field, he shouldn't set up a dovecot, unless he has 50 amos on every side of the dovecot where the doves will go and eat. If he only has, let's say, 25 amos on the northern side, then he has to fear that his doves are going to fly into his friend's field and eat some of those. Rav Yehuda says, it's not even enough 50 amos. Beis ar bakurim. You have to have a field big enough to plant four kur. And so the dovecot has to have a kur worth of space on every side. Because that's the amount of melo sheger ayona. That's the amount of space for a dove to fly in a single, is it a dove or a pigeon?
Dove.
A dove.
Dove.
Okay, that's the amount of space that a dove would fly. V'im lakcho. However, if I bought a dove coat with ground around it, and the seller put this dove coat up in this place, afilu beis rova, even if the area around this dove coat is very small, only enough area to plant a quarter of a kav in each direction. Arehu b'cheskaso, this dove coat continues the way it was, the way it's been established that it gets used. And I don't now need to move it away, because apparently if the seller had it like this, he must have worked something out with his neighbors, that they would not be upset that he has pigeons nearby. Maybe he paid them for the right to keep the pigeons nearby. So when he sold the bird nest to me, he also sold to me the rights that he had acquired. Ask the Gemara. The first point of the Mishnah was that the dovecote should be 50 amos away from the houses. Chamishim amo v'sulo, is that enough? To 50 amos away? Or mini, but I'll challenge you. We have a Mishnah in Bava Kama. Ain porsin neshavim liyonim. You can't spread out nets to catch doves. Elim kena yorachuk min ayishuv shloshim ris. Unless it was 30 ris away from where people are living. And that is 4 mil. Now each mil is 2,000 amos. That means it has to be 8,000 amos away. So how did the Mishnah say that a dove flies 50 amma, whereas in Bava Kama, in terms of the dove going in and eating other people's stuff, whereas in Bava Kama we learned that a dove flies 8,000 amma in terms of my being careful not to be stealing other people's doves? Amar Abaya, Abaya answer like this. Meshit Shai Tetuva. Yes, the dove flies a lot. Ukrisayu b'chamishim am samalya, and their stomach, though, gets filled with the snacks that they eat in the first 50 amos. So in terms of catching the dove, yeah, even if I'm, let's say, 1,000 amos from the city, I might be catching doves that belong to people because they fly 8,000 amos. But in terms of my doves eating other people's stuff, as long as my doves are 50 amos away, the first 50 amos of their flight is going to be my territory, so they fill themselves up with the first 50 amos of flight. So therefore, they're going to be filled already. So then they're not going to be eating other people's stuff. So now the Gemara asks, when talking about flying, do they only fly 8,000 ama? Now in a settled area, afilu mea mil lo yifros. Even if I'm 100 mil, that is 200,000 ama away from the homes, I shouldn't set out my nets. So that sounds like doves fly not 8,000 ama, they fly 200,000 amas. So now we have a bunch of answers.
Are you responsible for the shame of the dove? Like, you know, the cow eating...
If you own it, yeah.
The cow eating somebody
right?
else's...
Yeah, if you own the dove, sure.
So
yeah.
Under that.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to, in your field, put a trap to kill like animals that come into your field?
Yes, right.
If they're causing you damage and there's no other way, yeah. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yosef said, "B'yishuv kramim." This brisa that said that you need to keep your nets 200,000 amma away. That's in an area settled with lots of vineyards. Since it's settled with lots of vineyards, therefore the doves fly from vineyard to vineyard. They keep pecking at the grapes. So then, even if you're far away from where they are, it's still going to be a problem because they're going to move very far if they have all these vineyards to go to from place to place. And Rava Amar Rava said, "B'yishuv shovchem." We're talking in a place of lots of dovecotes. So there are homes, and then there are dovecotes after dovecotes. So the doves fly from dovecote to dovecote. Then they might be going very far. So even if I'm 100 mil away, 200,000 amos away, I can't put up my net because the doves are going to be there and I'm going to be catching other people's doves. So the Gemara says, if Rava's case is right, that there are lots of dovecotes after the houses of the city... So then why are we worried about the doves of the city? What about all the dovecotes? There are doves in those dovecotes, and I have to keep my net away from those. So maybe those are mine. Those belong to a non-Jew. Maybe those are dovecotes that were set up by the city for ownerless doves. So it's okay to catch those doves. But the doves of the city have to be worried about that they might now take advantage of these dovecotes to hop from one to the other. And therefore, I need to keep my net away from possibly stealing them. Rebuda, going back to the Mishnah, Rebuda says that the dovecote has to be more than 50 amos away. Even in a field, it has to be beis arba kurim. The field has to be big enough to plant 4 kur. But if you bought a field that was smaller... and it had a dovecote already in it, that you could keep. Because there was a chazaka. Rav Papa explained, Vitem Rav Zvid, and Sabsir Rav Zvid explained, Zosomeres, the law of this Mishnah, we learn, the Tonin Lo Keach, we make claims on behalf of a purchaser, and Tonin Liyoresh, we make claims on behalf of someone who inherits. So what does that mean? Rashi explains. Let's say a person bought something or inherited something and now someone else comes with all sorts of claims and says, no, really it was mine, it didn't belong to the seller, or I inherited it. So we make claims for him and we say like this, we'll bring the witnesses. The witnesses say, yeah, the father was here or the seller was here, and even though he didn't make the claim, we will make the claim for him. So the Gemara says, why do you have to tell us this? Yoresh, that we make a claim for an inheritor, Tanina, we have that in a Mishnah. Haba Mishum Yerusha, if somebody is an inheritor, Eino tzarech taina. He doesn't have to make a claim why he's entitled to this land. We make the claims for him. So I said, you're right. Lokeach it's tzrichale. We don't need to tell you about an inheritor. The chiddush is a buyer. No, lokeach namitzina. Even a buyer, we have a mishnah. Chatzer ubaziz nukzus tiros. Hare zeh b'chez kasa. If I buy a courtyard, and there are ledges from the courtyard that protrude out into the street, and now people of the street come with a complaint. They say, hey, you know, you're the new owner. These ledges are a problem. You've got to move them out. Bezin makes a claim. Bezin says, no, if I bought it this way, Zev bought it this way, he doesn't know the past history. It must have been that something was worked out. Maybe there was a deal worked out with the town to be able to have these ledges in the street. Maybe originally the street wasn't that big. The street was smaller, and this man allowed them into his area, allowed them to take his sidewalk, and therefore he left his ledges up. Yeah, and we make the claim for them. So Gemara says, no, still, tzrich, I need to have both sources. Yes, me and Hasim, if I would have learned that we make a claim about ledges, I would say, Gabi Rosh Hasharabim, when there are ledges into the street, Emor Konis Atok Shalohu, where it's very likely that what happened was that the man actually moved into his own area and he built the fence. And then people took over that part that he left for them. Or he worked out a deal with the people of the street and they were mochel. But in our case, we're talking about an individual where I have a field that I just bought next to your dovecote. So Lotz, maybe Bezna wouldn't make this type of a claim between two individuals to say, oh, it must be if I bought it, the former owner worked out a deal with you that it was okay. If we told you here that we make the claim to came with the yachidhu, because since it's just an individual, it's an individual. So it's very likely that maybe the seller who sold me the dovecoat and bought the right to keep his dovecoat near your field. You forgave the field to him. Have a rabbin. But when we talk about the community being damaged, man pious, who's the person who you can deal make a deal with? Man shavik, and who's the person who can permit something to you? Say malo, so then maybe we wouldn't make claims for the person. So tzricha, that's the chiddush that we make the claim for the purchaser in both cases.
Right, presumably this is a case where the previous owner didn't own it for 3 years, because if you owned it for 3 years, it wouldn't be an issue, right? So it's probably like he owned it for less time.
Why? Maybe he owned it. Maybe he owned it for 3 years. But the whole point is that this new owner didn't own it for 3 years, and we make a whole case for him. He doesn't have a case. I don't know. This is what I bought. So yeah. So probably you're okay. We learned in a Mishnah that if a person bought a dovecote and there isn't a lot of space around it, it is still in the way it was before. It's in its tradition. It can continue. Asks the Gemara, I have Amar Rav Nachman or Rav Baravua, Ein Chazak L'Nezikin, but didn't Rav Nachman say in the name of Rav Baravua, there is no Chazaka for damages? So we have the answer that we saw before. Right in here, it's damages. If I get the dove coat and it's right next to my friend's field, my doves are going to damage his field. So how can we say, oh, but I bought it this way and he must have had a right to do it? So, but there's no chazaka for damages. Answer the Gemara. Rav Amar B'Kutra. Rav said, when do we say there's no chazaka for damages? When the damager is smoke. And Rav Zvid Amar B'Beis HaKise. And Rav Zvid said there's no chazaka for damages when it's a bad smell of a lavatory. So these are not that, so they're not as terrible. Therefore, there is a chazaka on these types of damagers. All right, that was in terms of theft. And now the Mishnah gets back to issues, again, about birds, about really finding things. How do you know who it belongs to? So Nipol, if you find a little chick, Hanimtza Mitzoh Chamishim Amma, that's found within 50 Amas of the dovecote, Harei Yishol Bala Shovach, you have to return it to the owner of the dovecote, it is his. Chutz Mechamishim Amma, but if you found the pigeon more than 50 amos away from the dovecote, Harei Yishol Motzo, it's probably not from the dovecote, and it belongs to you, the finder. Nimtza Bein Shnei Shovchos, if you find a pigeon, a little chick, I'm sorry, between two dovecotes, Karav Lazeh, if it's closer to one, Shalot belongs to that one. Karav Lazeh, if it's closer to the other, Shalot belongs to the other one. Mechza al mechza, if it's exactly in the middle, Shneim Yachloku, the two owners of the Dovko, should divide the chip. Because we don't know who it is. No, we've never had the idea of...
Not the dove, but with other items.
We had when two people are holding on to it.
Right.
Two people, we didn't have the idea that being close is a source of dividing.
Something in the street, and it's closer to that store.
Yeah.
That store.
Yeah, that we've had, exactly. That's right. So Amar Rav Chanina said, Rove, when you have something which you don't know what it is, to say what's probably from the majority of the things that are in this town, or Karov, or you have a thing that you don't know where it's from, to say it comes from the closest source. When you have a conflict between the two, Hochen Achar Arov, then the deciding factor should be to say that it belongs to the majority. Even though that we follow that which is closest, or that we follow the majority, both are biblical mandates. For example, the pasuk says Achrei Rabim Lahatos, follow the majority, and the pasuk says in regards to Egla Arufa that if you find a dead body, you measure what's the closest town. We say it came from that town, and the sages of that town have to come out and they have to cut off the head of the calf. They have to declare Yadeinu Lo Shafcha Sadam Hazeh. Even so, we have a conflict between the two. Ruba Adif, the more powerful one, is to follow Rove, to follow the majority. Masa Rib Zera challenges. We learned the pasuk says, Vayayir Akrovala Chalal, the city closest to the dead body. The sages of that city have to come out and do the service of the Egla Rufa, sounding like Afal Gavdi Kachrit, even though there's another one further away. The Nefishamine that has more people. I says, no, but the Lekka, let's talk about another case. So there isn't another one further away with more people. The Lezel Basaruba Da'alma. Still, why do you say it comes from this city? Maybe it came from most of the people in the world. So the Gemara says, Bioshevis Ben Aharim. We're talking about a city which is between the mountains, where there aren't lots of people coming from all over. And we can be confident that the murder came from this city that is nearby. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nipol Chik, Hanimtza B'soch Chamishim Amma. That's within 50 Amos of a dovecote. Harei Ushel Bal HaShovach. It belongs to the owner of the dovecote. V'yafal Gav, sounding like even though Dikach Rina Dinafish Mineh, there's another one further away that has more chicks in it. Well, he says, no, but the Lekka, the Mishnah is talking about where you don't have other dovecotes that are bigger in the area. Ihachi, if so, Ema Seifa. But read the end of the Mishnah. Chutz mechamishim ama, but if the chick is more than 50 amas away, Harei Ushal Motzo, the finder can keep it. Vida Lekka, if we don't have any other dovecotes, Vadimahu Nafal. What do you mean the finder can keep it? Where else did it come from? Must have come from this dovecote. So the Gemara answers, no. Achab mayaskina, and you know what we're dealing with here? It's not that we're dealing with a dovecote where there are no other dovecotes around. There may be another dovecote around. And that dovecote may even have more chicks than this dovecote. But the reason why we say that if it's within 50 amos of this dovecote, the chick belongs to this dovecote owner, because we're not talking about a chick that can fly. We're talking about such a young chick that's still walking. Still, you know, hobbling around. So therefore, it probably didn't hobble a long distance, even though that's a big dovecote. Must have been from this dovecote. Tamar Avuk v'Barchama. Avuk v'Barchama said, Kol Medadze, anytime you have a chicken that's hobbling, that's walking, it can't even fly, Ein Medadze Yosem Mechamishim, it can't walk more than 50 amos. But Rabbi Yirmi asked a question. Raglo achas besoch hamishim ama, v'raglo achas chutz mechamishim ama ma. What happens if you find a chick, 1 foot is within 50 amos of the dovecote and 1 foot is out of it? So can you keep it? Well, daf kula Rabbi Yirmiyah bei Midrash. For this question, they threw Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the base Midrash. Tashma, come on, your proof. We learned nimtza ben shnei shovchos. If it was found between two dovecotes. Karav lezeshalo, karav lezeshalo. If it's closer to one, it belongs to him. Closer to the other one, it belongs to him. It sounds like we don't pay attention to the fact that one might have more than the other. pasuk. My answer is Achav Ma'askin Shishneim Shavim. Here we're talking about where they're both equal sizes. So the Gemara says, but still, V'nezel Basaruba di Alma. Why don't we say it came from most of the chicks of the world if we follow the majority? And therefore, the finder can keep it. It's the Gemara. Achav Ma'askinan here, what are we talking about? Vishvil Shil Kramim. When we're talking about a path with lots of vineyards around. So since there are lots of vineyards, as we say, that attracts the chicks. Therefore, they can go from place to place. And therefore, we can't assume that it came from other places. The Nisa de Me'alma Asu. Because if it's true that it came from another place, Kivin de Midade Lomatzi Asu. Since he's not flying, he's just walking with with his feet. It couldn't have come from far. Because any chick that is walking and hobbling around, he keeps walking as long as he can see his nest. Below, but if when he turns his head he can't see his nest anymore, lo midadi, doesn't keep chicken, doesn't keep hobbling around. Therefore, you can't say it came from somewhere else to this path, because the paths are going to, the vineyards are going to prevent him from seeing where he came from. So clearly, he didn't come from a far place, because he's not going to walk so far if he can't see where he came from. Therefore, he must have come from one of these two nests, and that's what we say, wherever he's closest to, that's the owner of him.